कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। नमः ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्ताय भूतले श्रीमद् भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनि नामिनि। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवीं गौरवाणी प्रजारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो वी वर डिस्कसिंग दिस वर्ड्स यस्टरडे व्हिच वाज 21 वासन्त बाह्य स्पर्शेषु देन लास्ट 22 सॉरी ये ही संस्पर्शजा भोगा दुखयो नयमेव ते आद्यन्दवन्द कौन्देय न तेषु रमदे बुधाम। ये ही संस्पर्शजा भोगा दुखयोनयमेव ते आद्यन्तवन्तं कौन्देय न तेषु रमदे बुधा। इंटेलिजेंट पर्सन डस नॉट टेक पार्ट इन द सोर्सेस ऑफ मिसरी which are due to contact with the material senses. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise man does not delight in them. So, the dukkha yonaya mevate, Krishna says there, that mind should not go into in that direction, which are sources of misery. That what it means is that does not mean that you should not engage in vyavaharam. Vyavaharam will continue. But the important point is that the vyavaharam outside should not get inside us. And that is a yoga state. So long as one is unable to do that in that state, he has to be very cautious that this vyavaharam does not affect him. Or minimize the vyavaharam in the beginning. One has to minimize the vyavaharam. Keep it to the very minimum. Bare minimum what is necessary. Till he acquires that strength inside that he can conduct the vyavaharam without that entering inside. So the entering inside. That is the principle. So Krishna says here, because the fundamentals are very clear. Samsparshajo bhogam dukkha yonishu dukkha yonaya evate. Krishna says there, isn't it? Once you have samsparsham, contact with the sense objects, samsparsham happens, it is dukkha yoni. It is a source of misery. As I mentioned before, sukham is packaged in dukham and offered to us. So, intelligent person, Krishna is saying, ehi samsparshaja bhogam dukkha yone mevade. He should see that there is dukham packaged in that. And knowing very well, he says, Adyantavanda Kaunde. The reason for that is, it has a beginning and an end. Adyantavanda, Andavandam. Adyam, Andam. Both are there. Adyantavantam Kaunteya. Na teshu ramade Buddha. Buddha means intelligent person will not take pleasure in these things. Not take pleasure in these things. These are, on these issues, there is no there is no compromise, or there is no negotiations at all. These are all absolute principles what Krishna is telling us. Anyone who leaves them and goes away and does things on his own, then they have to reap the results also from that later. But this is why Shastram is necessary in life. If Shastram don't guide us, we will be guided by our senses. That's clear. If Shastram is not guiding us, we will be guided by our senses. That's why we have to keep the Shastram closer to the heart, what Krishna is saying there. Krishna could act 100% like a hard materialist in this world, but nothing went inside and touched him. That's what that position of the absolute nature of the Krishna's dealings in this world. If you remember that Krishna was never a slave to anything. Even while being in the middle of all the activities, completely he was absorbed in this world. This is the beauty of Krishna Avataram. Krishna's appearance in this world is teaching us this important lesson, that after coming to this world and absorbed in every activity in this world, but never touched by anything. That is what Krishna was saying, that Vrindavanam pastimes, if you look, and then you went to the pastimes in Dwaraka and Mathura also, and never showed any attachment anywhere. Any attachment anywhere. To act with such detachment. If you remember, Bhagavan's definition is Aishwaryasa Samagrasa Viryasa Ishasa Shriya Jnanam Vairagyam. That Vairagyam is to the such an extent inside that nothing will go inside and disturb Krishna's consciousness in any time. That state of, we may say he is Supreme Personality of Godhead and all that, that's another thing. But the way Krishna did things in this world is a lesson to learn for all time. If we can do like that, then it's fine. But if we can't do that, then you have to know where we are, each all of us, and to guard against all these influences of the world on us. So Krishna's pastimes, if you look, you'll see there that no sticking to anything. As I mentioned before, Devaki Devi, imagine Devaki's situation. To get Supreme Personality of Godhead as her son, she had to go through such a misery. 6 children of hers were killed by Kamsa in front of Vasudeva and Devaki. They were killed, the 6 children. If we have to go through all so much distress to get Krishna as a son, then it's something very difficult to understand. So all that has happened to Devaki Devi. And after that is the 7th and the 8th is Balaram and Krishna. And they couldn't even have them in their childhood. Neither Krishna and Balaram could be with the father and mother. So they had to go through all these things, and Krishna was least affected by that. Not affected by anything. After that came to Vrindavanam, and then all this relationship with the Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and with the gopis, and one day leaves the whole thing and walks out from there. Never seen again in Vrindavanam. Okay, Acharyas will say on a transcendental level that Krishna never left Vrindavan and all that. But in Sridhara Swami's commentary and all, it's not mentioned. It is coming from Vishwanathachatra Thakur and other Acharyas. But Bhagavatam authority is Sridhara Swami. Sridhara Swami has never said like that. Sridhara Swami is saying that they have gone. Krishna and Balaram has left Vrindavanam and never to come back. So imagine that the mother with Yashoda's relationship with Krishna was such that if you read through in Bhagavatam, tears will come. To such an extent it was so close that relationship was. And Krishna could walk out of that at one day without even saying that when he is going to come back. That's at the age of 12 he went with Akrura. And all the gopis whose heart Krishna has stolen, he left them also in the same way and gone away from there. And same thing you will see later on in Dwaraka also, when after marrying all the 16,108 wives and being the emperor there in Dwaraka, still no connection anywhere, no attachment in anything. So, without able to stay like that, from this the lesson to learn is that whichever object comes closer to us, so, and we have to take constant attention that it's going to cause a misery lighter, because we are not in that state like Krishna was in that state. So there we have to, once sticking happens, then there will be reactions from that later. So that is what Krishna is saying here. Dukkha yonayam evate. Everything is sources of misery. Sources of misery. So, dukkha yonayam evate. Adyanta vanta kaunteya. Why? Because it has got a beginning and it has got an end. All these relationships in this world. There's a beginning and it has an end. And once, nateshu ramade buddha. Because it's like that, intelligent person will not go and try to engage in these relationships, sticking to it at any time. That's the most important thing. Bahyasparshyeshu yahi samsparshaja bhoga dukha yone mevate adyantavanta kaunteya nateshu ramade buddha. So, you can see this in Ramayanam also. Ramayanam also there. So, when they went to Bharadwaj Ashram, if you remember, we discussed this before, the big feast in Bharadwaj Ashram, what happened there was, when Bharata came there, Ramachandra was already in the forest, and Bharata also was going to the forest. So, ordinary people will always be in their phase, in level what they are at. For normally, for ordinary people, two things are very important. First, they will do worship, deity worship and everything. They will do meditations and they will chant the holy name, everything they will do. But for them, two things are very important. One is eating, another one is sleeping. Isn't it? They are the most important things for the ordinary people. That's why they are ordinary people. So, Krishna and all comes after that, after these two things, eating and sleeping. So, in Ramayanam, that's what is spoken there. Ramachandra, when he went to Ayodhya, the people were saying that without Rama, we can't live in this world. They made this statement, without Ramachandra, we can't live in this world. And they were stopped all their Sandhyavandanam, Agnihotram and all kinds of things. And everyone started following him. And when they reached the Sarayu River, they were tired. So what they did, they had their whatever clothes they had brought with them, they spread it and put it on the riverbank and slept in the sand. They all slept in the sand. Ramachandra thought at that time, this is the right opportunity to escape from this. Ramachandra thought like that. And immediately what he did was, he took the help of Guha. And with Guha, Ramchandra, Lakshmana and Sita Devi crossed the river to the other side. In Ramayanam, while commenting on this, all the commentators agree on one point to tell us that unless we have won over eating and sleeping, Ramchandra is not accessible. You can't understand Ramchandra. You cannot have any connection with the truth. Krishna's that for self-realization, one has to even go beyond the point of eating and sleeping. Eating and sleeping has to be maintained to the very minimum for the body to make that progress in the spiritual path. That is that lesson from that. That Ramachandra will leave you at that point and goes to the other side of the river to indicate to us that so long as we are connection with eating and sleeping, even we will lose Ramachandra. In other words, Krishna consciousness. So that's what it is. So, they did not... So, next day when they woke up, they couldn't find Ramachandra. But instead, they didn't think about further going after Ramachandra. After that, they said, oh, we have to go back. Children have to go to school and have to go back to work. All these usual things have come back again into their mind. So, when the sleep came, it caught all of them very strongly. And after they came back to the Ayodhya, then all this incident happened between Bharata. Bharata saying that I am not going to stay as the king here. I cannot live without Ramachandra. And Bharata started saying like that. So, they all started again with Bharata to looking for Ramachandra. They started the journey again. And they knew that in the forest they won't get anything to eat. They had to eat this roots and the fruits or whatever that was available in the forest, forest food, whatever you get acquired from the forest. So there was no breakfast or anything like that. So they were also concerned, what will we eat, whether we'll get a proper meal there. This consideration was there. When they reached Bharadwaja ashram again, Bharadwaja gave them a fantastic feast, a wonderful feast they gave them. And also Bharata says to him, that Bharata says to Bharadwaj, you are sitting in this forest wearing this deer skin. This is Maharshi, isn't it? Bharadwaja Maharshi. Wearing this deer skin. And the place where he was living was a small hut made of the straw wood. And in this hut Bharadwaj is staying. And Bharadwaj is saying to all of these people who have come from Ayodhya, that I'll give you a very good feast. Don't worry. Stay here. Don't go. Stay here. I'm arranging a good feast, he says. Bharat could not believe that. Bharat says to Bharadwaja Ashram, Bharat says to Bharadwaja Maharshi, that I have come with this huge army of people from Ayodhya, and we have brought some things with us for us to cook ourselves. We have brought everything with us for us to cook and eat. But you are telling us that you are going to feed us, but don't struggle yourself. Bharata put it in a very nice way to Bharadwaja, don't endeavor yourself, worry about feeding us, he says to him. So Bharadwaja Maharshi says, please bear with me for some time. And what did he do? He went into the Agnishala. Agnishala means where they have all the fires burning. And standing there, he took the ajam. Ajam means the ahuri which offer into the fire. And says to them, that invited all the demigods to come. This is how he was. He invited all the demigods to come. They came, and all the demigods, not only gods came, the goddesses also came. Gods and goddesses also came. And together, the demigods and demigoddesses together, they built a hall in a very short time, and they cooked all the food, and they served them very well, a big feast to all these personalities who came from Ayodhya. Valmiki Maharshi mentions this. So a feast was organized by Bharadwaja in this way. Naturally, you can imagine, if the women from the heavenly planets, when they cook, what that feast will be. So, when the feast was over, and then they wanted to rest after the feast, that's the next thing, isn't it? They wanted to rest, and those facilities were also given by them. And so, at that time, Bharata escaped from them. Like Ramachandra escaped earlier from the sleep. And this time, they escaped from them when they had the feast. So both eating and sleeping, in Ramachandra's and Bharata's case, this is what happened. That is what that famous statement in the Valmiki Ramayanam. At that time, those Ayodhya Vasis who came with him, saying, Neva Ayodhya Gamishyami, Gamishyamaha, Na Gamishyami Kanini, Kushalam Bharatasyastu Ramasyastu Tathasukham. It says, very clear the words. It says here, Neva Ayodhya Gamishyami. We are not going to Ayodhya now. It's fantastic here, even much better than what was in Ayodhya. Na Gamishyami Kanani. We are not going to the forest either. Kushalam Bharatasyastu. Wherever Bharata is, let him be happy there. Ramasyastu Tathasukham. Let Ramachandra also be happy wherever he is. I mean, what it's saying is, this is how much we want Krishna. How much we want Ramachandra, in other words. That as long as our essential bodily needs are taken care in a very well way, in a nice way, then we have no attachment to Ayodhya, we have no attachment to Ramachandra, we have no attachment to Bharata, nowhere. Wherever that is provided, that's where our attachment is. That's where our attachment is. So that's why that Valmiki makes a joke of all of us in that way. He makes a joke about it. Naiva Ayodhya Gamishyamaha, Na Gamishyami Kanani, Kushalam Bharatasyastu, Ramasyastu, Tatha Sukham. That let Bharata live wherever he is. Kushalam Bharata, let everything be well for Bharata. This is the people who have followed him from Ayodhya. And Ramasyastu, Tatha Sukham. Then Ramasyastu also be happy wherever he is. And this is true for all the time to come. It will be like that. So let Rama be happy and Bharata also be happy. And we are not coming to Ayodhya. We'll stay here. If he knew that all these facilities were here, we wouldn't have thought. But when we are not, they were not even thinking about Ayodhya after that. Attachment to Ayodhya all finished at that point. Let's live in this ashram, they said. So the feast was so good, and the facilities were so good, that suddenly when they were talking to each other, everything disappeared from there. Everything disappeared from there. The hall, the demigods, the apsaras women who came from there to cook the feast, they were all gone. And at that time, these people started saying, let's go back to Ayodhya again. And that's how it started. This is the situation in this world. This is the situation in this world. You can see, if you give nice prasadam to people and a nice place to live, they'll come. Whether they will, you can get people in this world to follow. But whether they'll be spiritually inclined or not, that's another thing. That's another thing. But as long as you feed people, as long as you give place to sleep. So, and they will say that they came there thinking that they will not have any great prasadam or any feast in the forest. But when they got it, their mood changed. So because of that feast alone, they're saying that they could not forget the forest. That's why Valmiki goes on describing the forest. Whole Aranyakandam in Ramayana is about discussing about this forest. So what happened to them was, when they came back from the forest back to the Ayodhya, they could not enjoy the food anymore because the feast was so good that they were saying that they couldn't enjoy the roti and chawal back at home. They could not find any taste for it. This is how life is, isn't it? If you are given something higher, then your mind will go and stay there. It will not come back to the old days where they had to prepare themselves. So, sukham dukham, Krishna is saying here, if you experience happiness, then it is very difficult to experience distress. Isn't it? Dukha yone mevate. That to experience distress will become more difficult if you experience happiness too much in this world. In other words, if you have a lot of sense enjoyment, then it gets very difficult to experience when some distress comes. Dukha yone mevate. Happiness will make the distress much bigger than what it is. The happiness what you enjoy in this world will make, if any distress comes, make it much bigger. Will make it much bigger. So therefore, he says here, if you're always in distress, if a little bit more distress comes, it won't bother so much. You will be able to handle that, face that. But sometimes we say, astrologers will tell you, go to astrologers, they'll tell you, next, everything is going very well at the moment. Then the astrologer says to you, next 70 years or 10 years is going to be really bad. Or in there, Saturn is going to be very powerful and he's going to give you another seven and a half years hard time. And that 7.5 years, the last 2.5 years is going to be really bad. Like this, astrologers make these predictions. So, and then we will say, what will happen after that? Then the astrologer will say, yes, there is good time after that coming. Oh, then you feel a bit better, that there is some good time after that. So, if he says to you, now from after that till death, it's all distress, nothing better going to happen, then you will be terribly disappointed, isn't it? So that's the way the mind works. So, Prakriti, material nature is not like that. Prakriti sometimes will give you distress. And then after that, when you get used to that distress, it'll give you some happiness. So therefore, what will happen? That's when you get addicted to happiness. So just like the blacksmith, how he put the iron into the fire, takes it out, and he starts smashing on it to get the shape it wants. Isn't it? Similarly, material nature also puts into the same fire of material existence. Heats us and takes us out. Smashes us again and then puts it again. So like this heating and getting beaten all the time in this life, eventually we will get proper senses, will come to our head, will become realizes that this is not worthwhile chasing all these things in this world. This realization will come from that. So Prakriti Dastikthan is saying, one side it will give you a lot of distress, then it will give you happiness, then smashing again, beating. So in order that, Krishna says, not to get affected by these things, either you have to give up both the happiness and the distress, and then and then you will not be affected, because these are dvandvam. This happiness, distress coming back and forth one after the other is called a dvandvam. So this dvandvam, one should not get victimized by dvandvam, isn't it? Dvandvadhidan. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says about dvandvadhidan. And it all means the same. Sthita Prajna, Bhakta, Yogi, Dvandvadhidan, Gunadhidan, and all different names is spoken. That's all. In essence, it's one and the same thing. So you can see here that in order, Krishna says that if you come out of this dvandvam, if it happens, then the mind will not go out looking for enjoyment. Because in all these dvandvam, why you experience dvandvam? Because ahangaram is there. The ahangaram is present there. Dvandvani sarvani akhilaha triputyaha kinjil samagriha na pashyadam sad chalam kadahi. So this is from the Upanishads. It says there that that all the dualities and tripudi. Tripudi means dvandvani sarvani akhilaha triputyaha. Dvandvam is the duality. Try to understand this. Tripudi means you are seeing something, for example, you are seeing something, then the process and the eyes are there to see, the senses which is seeing, and there's an object which is being seen, object that is being seen, the eyes which are seeing, the objects that is seen, and the process of seeing. Three things. These things are called tripudi. Tripudi means these three. You are seeing something, then there is the object something, and then there's process of seeing. These three things has to go, like dvandvam. Dvandvam is the duality in the material nature. Experience of the happiness and distress. The tripudi is these three things. These three things also has to go. Once the tripudi is gone, then you escape from here, once for all. So by then you are completely realized once the tripudi happens. So sannyasis all eventually will say like that. They have lost the tripudi. Tripudi has left them. So at that stage, what exists then? Pure consciousness. That you are become that Brahman. Brahman realization has completely happened. So at that time, both this duality, dvandvam and tripudi, that is connected to false ego. It's connected with false ego. Only with false ego it can exist. Only when the false ego is present in a person, dvandvam and tripudi will exist. So once that's gone and there is no more false ego inside, then there is only Brahman that is left. Brahman alone left. So once you have reached that state, then there is no movement for the mind anymore. So, Adhyam Davanda Kaunteya. So, Adhyam or the all the sense gratification, one should not get involved in any sense gratification. What Krishna is saying, after all, world is full of sense gratification, isn't it? When we say sense gratification, remember this, any senses when we are gratifying in any way, that's sense gratification. So, Adhyantavanda Kaunteya Nateshu Ramade Buddha does not mean that when you are hungry, you have to eat food, but don't enjoy in the food, thinking that this is the give me pleasure. So, in other words, don't become a slave of that food. You cannot stay without sleeping. That's not possible. But don't become a slave of the sleep. In other words, if the sleep comes, sleep. But if there is no sleep, don't get, develop anxiety over that. So, what is sleep means? Sleep is nothing but it's a coverage of the mind. That's what sleep is. Manas avaranam of the mind. That is what sleep is. So, we should not become a slave of that. So, giving up that fear and not engaging any, finding any happiness in either of these two, either in eating or in the sleeping. We have to eat, there's no question. We have to eat, but not to take pleasure in that eating process, thinking that this is the be all and end all of life. And that's what it is saying. So similarly, all sense objects in this world, doesn't matter what it is, when it has to be in this way. It has to be in this way. Suppose you are watching TV. It's not that watching TV everything is going to break down. The whole world is going to come down. But what it means is that tomorrow at the same time, if you don't watch the TV, you shouldn't feel that, oh, I couldn't watch my TV. I missed that program. Shouldn't lament over it. To such an extent, we have to make sure that we have no attraction for that. Not forcibly renouncing things, but with knowledge and understanding, able to stay away from that. Nateshu Ramade Buddha. Ramam is a word Krishna has used. Have you noticed that? Ramam means what? Ramam means extracting pleasure from something. It is different than engaging in something. Suppose you are eating, but you are trying to extract pleasure out of it through the senses. Then Krishna says, Nateshu Ramade Buddha. One should not do that. It's a big difference there. Rama means to find pleasure in all these things, eating, sleeping, and in everything. So, because adhyantavanta kaunteya, it has got a beginning and it has got an end. All topics in this world, sense objection, sense enjoying topics in this world, has got a beginning and end. And therefore, Krishna says, you should not stick to anything. If you get sticking nature develops inside, then things which have got a beginning and an end, then you have to suffer. You have to suffer. Even while there is prarabdham to go through it. We have to live in this world. Why we have to live in this world? Because there is prarabdham there. Isn't it? Prarabdha karma has brought this body here. It's called prarabdha shariram, this body. So, till the prarabdham is over, you have to live in this body. But while that prarabdham you are experiencing, Krishna says you have to live in this way, without sticking to it. That is, we have to take care, not to get stuck in that process. So, Nateshu Ramade Buddha, knowledgeable, person in knowledge will live like that. And in this verse you will see, Krishna has addressed Arjuna as Kaundeya. If you look at that word, Krishna says there, Nateshu Ramade Buddha. He says there, Adyandavanta Kaunteya. The address, Krishna is addressing Arjuna as Kaunteya. Kaunteya means what? Kunti Devi's son. Why is that special word that is? In this particular instance, it has a lot of significance. Because Kunti Devi, nobody else has suffered like Kunti in this world at that time. If you look into the whole Mahabharata, you will see Kunti Devi's life is full of distress. Full of distress. From the in the very beginning, when she was not married to Pandu, even then the problem started, isn't it? Durvasava Maharshi came, gave the special blessings to Kunti Devi, gave this 5 mantra to chant and invoke different demigods anytime when they want. And then from sun god, Karna was born. And then Yudhishthira, Bhima, Arjuna, they were gone from different demigods. They were all born. Later on from Pandu they were born. But the important thing is here that Kunti Devi never said to Krishna, happiness should come anytime. Always said, I should have only distress. Only prayed like that. although she had gone through the greatest distress. You can imagine Kunti Devi's situation when Mahabharata war started. One son on one side, other sons on the other side, and they had to fight each other. And you can imagine a mother's situation, that this is what it is, within the family this fight, and the mother has to witness all these things, what was happening. And so many things in Mahabharata you will find, what Kunti Devi tried to avoid this war, and trying to go and speak to Karna about it, Karna wouldn't listen. And Yudhishthira was saying to Kunti Devi, you are responsible for this, blaming Kunti Devi for that. And Kunti Devi had to hear from both sides. Karna was not listening, neither Yudhishthira was listening. Yudhishthira was blaming on Kunti Devi for what happened in the past. And Karna was saying to Kunti Devi that you needn't care for me. Imagine that mother's situation. And Karna went and took shelter of this Duryodhana and the army there. And he felt that they are feeding me, I am obliged to them. I have to be loyal to them. He felt that way. And our Yudhishthira and others felt that they are rightly situated. They are on the path of dharma, whereas Karna is not. And afterwards, when it was revealed to Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira says to Kunti Devi, why did you not tell me that Karna was our elder brother? And all these kind of complex situations within the family, and the poor mother Kunti Devi has to handle all these situations. Plus many years in the forest, getting in with the problems with Duryodhana and others, when children were small. Yudhishthira and others were very small when they were sent to the forest, isn't it? So at that time, as a mother, she had to look after all of them. She had to feed them. So much responsibility, and Pandu was gone. There was nobody there. Dhritarashtra won't care. Dhritarashtra also wanted to finish them up with Yudhishthira, according to Duryodhana's plan. He was supporting them, never took any care of them. Took care of Kunti Devi or the brothers' wives they were, isn't it? Never took care of them. So Kunti Devi had to go to forest. And Krishna is observing all these things. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see. When Akrura came back, brought Krishna and Nanda Maharaj and others to Mathura, as soon as Kamsa was killed, the first thing Krishna did was to inquire about Kunti Devi's welfare in Hastinapur. And he goes there, Akrura was sent there. Akrura goes there and he comes back and reports to Krishna what's going on there. That Dhritarashtra does not understand. He cannot understand what is going on. It is so unfair what they have done to Kunti Devi. And that Kunti Devi, who has gone through so much distress in life, is saying to Krishna, don't give me any happiness in this world. Because she has understood that. That's what she is saying here. Never she asked for that. So, why she said that? Kunti Devi says to Krishna like this, when the distress comes, I start thinking I am not this body. I am not this body. I know that very well. When I get a lot of happiness, I will never know that. When I get a lot of happiness, I will never know that. Therefore, she says to Krishna, though when I experience the distress in life, at that time, dukkha smaranam, that atma smaranam will increase. That means my memory of the soul increases. Memory of the soul increases. On the other hand, when happiness is coming, my memory of the body increases. It is natural, isn't it? When you know, you become much more subtle in your understanding of life when you are in distress, not while you are in a happy state. When you are in a happy state, you can see this within yourself, that the mind naturally turns into the bodily platform, goes into the bodily platform much more than when you are in a very distressful state. In a distressful state, the mind becomes more subdued, and at that point you can see things in a much more subtle level. Much more subtle level. Just like you can see this, when you get very sick, and you are in the hospital, and you see that nothing is going to work now. Everything is going to be... Do you think you will have much interest in this world, what goes on here? Will anybody care for it? Suppose you get a very serious illness, and you are admitted to hospital, and it's almost coming to the stage that there is no chances of survival, what interest would you have in this world? That's the time that you become much more internal looking, inward looking. You become more conscious of what's happening. Up to that. Whereas on the other hand, if everything is fantastic, the world is going very well, all your stocks and shares are doing very well, properties are prices are going up everywhere, the salaries are coming up much better, and business is doing well, family is doing well, social life is fantastic. Would you think that we will be absorbed in the soul? It will never happen. It will never happen. That's why Krishna is saying here, adyantavandakam. So Krishna has to put it to us why we shouldn't take shelter on any of these things. Adyantavandakam, because they all have a beginning and they all have an end. Nateshu Ramade Buddha, intelligent person will not go in that route. That's what Krishna is saying there. So therefore, Kuntidevi's logic is this. Kuntidevi is very simple. She says, I am not a great philosopher or anything, but this much I know from life. If you look into Kundistuti in the Bhagavadam, you will see there. Vipada Sanduda Shashwal, that's the verse. Vipada Sanduda Shashwal, Tatra Tatra Jagal Guru, Bhavado Darshanam Yasyal, Apunar Bhava Darshanam. That word is very important. Vipata means accidents or all this kind of distress in life. Please let that happen to me all the time. Why? Tatra Tatra Jagal Guru, as soon as it happens, you are there. What Kundidevi means is, you are there means I'm immediately realizing the soul. In other words, not that only physical presence, not that every time Kundidevi was in distress, Krishna was physically present there. Not that what it means. Vipada sanduda sashval tatra. In devotee's language, when you say it's like that, tatra tatra jagal guru, that you are already there immediately. But in a jnani's language, immediately I go back to the shelter of the soul inside. I realize it that I'm not this body. My identity is the soul. I should not, this distress and everything coming is not for the soul, but it's my mind that is absorbed in that. So, vipada sanduda shashval tatra tatra jagat guru. Then, Kundidevi says, bhavado darshanam yasyad. As soon as you come to see you, she says, as soon as I see you, in other words, as soon as I realize the self inside, bhavado darshanam yasyad, apunar bhava darshanam, again, I don't have to take birth again. That cycle has stopped at that point. Cycle has stopped at the point. In other words, self-realization, which when it happens, then there is no more duality happens from this world. The suffering won't be experienced anymore. So that is what Kundidevi's prayers are famous. Kundistuti is famous for this. Kundistuti, one should study well and keep on reading through those verses. It will strengthen our understanding of what spirituality means. Spirituality is not all the show what we put up in this world. That has no meaning. That will go its own way. Spirituality is this inside, how deeply we understand what these great souls have told us, Kundidevi and many others. So, how come Kundidevi was able to say like that? We cannot listen to that. We are such people. We are playing to Krishna. I should not even get a small headache. This is what we say to Krishna. Isn't it? Exactly opposite. Kundidevi is praying that let all distress come to me so that I will not forget you. I will not forget you. So that in order to remember Krishna, Kundidevi is saying, I am willing to go through any distress in this world. It does not matter at all. So, therefore, when we say that, oh, those people who are into lottery and all that, they'll say, if I get the ticket, I will pay you 50% or I will pay you this. Like this, they make contract with Krishna. So, that is nothing to do with Kundidevi is saying here, Vimala Sanduna Shashwal Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru. So, all those who have got the eyes, they are saying whatever distress that comes is not distress. For material body, happiness distress is coming and they are saying it is danger. I am in a very bad state, they say. So, all those distress, I will bear with that, Kundidevi says, because I am not this body. And and also, vipado naiva vipadaha. If you look at that statement also, it says like this. Vipado naiva vipadaha. Sambado naiva sambadaha. Vibad vismaranam vishnoho. Vibad vismaranam vishnoho. Sambad narayana smudihi. This is a statement in the Puranas. It stays like this. Vibhado naiva vibhadaha. A vibhata. Vibhata means a danger or distress. Or for example, a distress. Naiva vibhadaha. It is not a distress. And sambhato naiva sambhadaha. Or the wealth what you think you have got in this world is not really a wealth. What is the danger is forgetting Krishna is the danger. Forgetting Krishna is the danger. Vibhado naiva vibhadaha. All other vipata. Vipata means all the other distress or dangers in this world is not a danger. And all the sambhat or wealth what you have accumulated is not sambhat. It's not a wealth really. What is vipat? Vipada is, vipat is forgetting Krishna. Vipat vismaranam Vishnoho. Forgetting Vishnu, forgetting Krishna is the vipat. Or forgetting the soul is the vipat. Vipat is that. Forgetting one's own soul. And sambhat narayana smritihi. And remembering the soul is the wealth. Remembering the soul is the wealth. Sambhat narayana smriti. Narayana smriti means remembrance of the soul. In Yani's language, remembering the soul. In devotee's language, remembering Krishna. Remembering Narayana, in other words. So, remembering about the body constantly, Shariradi. Shariradi means body, bodily extensions, and all the other things in connection with the body, related to the body, like the material opulences, material life, material happiness, all these things, that is a danger. Remembering about Krishna, remembering about the soul, always absorbed in spirituality, is the wealth. So, if you think that all of this is mine, they will leave us one day and then you will cry. So Krishna is reminding Arjuna, saying that, Kaundeya, Kaundeya, you are son of Kundi. You are son of Kundi Devi who has lived like this. And therefore, it should not be difficult for you. This is why that Kaundeya word was used. Because your mother was like that. She was able to manage it because normally all children learn from the mother, isn't it? Everything comes from the mother. So, mother was like that, had that great quality in her. And why is that difficult for you? This is Krishna's question to Arjuna. Why do you have a problem? Your mother had managed to do that. So, it should not be difficult for you. That is the position of Krishna is talking to Kunti Devi. So, your mother was in that state. And after all, a little bit of mother's nature must be there in the son as well. In the son as well. So, father, mother, in that parampara, it has to come through. Some qualities has to come through. Because Kudidevi could stay in that state, you should also be able to stay in that. There are so many emotions coming inside, and that will create excitement. It will create a lot of excitement inside. Even if you don't want it, it will go and stick to things outside in this world. Outside in this world. Inside there is desires, anger, and they will all go outside and develop connection with the world outside. Connection with the world outside. Just like, as soon as you open the door, the dog will run out. Isn't it? As soon as you open the door, you'll see that. When you go to see some people, sometimes you knock at the door, they'll open the door, the dog will come out first. Jump out. And you get frightened there, right? When the dog jumps on us. So, similarly, as soon as you open these windows in the body, the mind will go out. It's like that dog. So he's waiting when to get out. When to get out. Exactly like that way. Just like the dog does. The mind will jump out straight away. So that's the best example you can think of. You know, when you see things happening like that. So, indriyam, the senses, as soon as you open it out to anything in this world, the mind will go out straight away through that. So therefore, Krishna says, the whole lifetime, it has to be practiced. Abhyasam. Abhyasam, Krishna says, isn't it? That what is that abhyasam? To know that all these things are going to give me distress and to withdraw the mind from that. And when it goes outside, stopping that is abhyasam. That is abhyasam. This is only one has to cultivate oneself from knowledge. Whenever the thoughts are occurring inside, thoughts are developing inside, you have to ask the question, who is having the thoughts? For whom is these thoughts are coming up? And if you say, oh, it happens to me, and then the question comes, who am I? For whom is this happening? Like this, He keeps bouncing and balancing it, and that is the abhyasam. And somehow or the other, before death happens, through this practice, if we are while living within this body, and in that situation, if the mind does not go out anymore, looking for sense gratification, and one who has reached that state, Krishna says he is Sukhi. He is properly situated. That means by living in this body itself, by practicing this understanding properly, it's like a sadhana it is, that when the mind is forcefully trying to go out and looking for happiness outside, we are able to pull it back and asking this question, who is looking for enjoyment or who wants it? And by through practice, if he is able to escape from this, he has escaped from this world, Krishna says. So after that, even if he sits, if he has reached that state, and then if he sits in the middle of anything, nothing will happen to him. That's not that word. Bahyasparsheshu asaktalma. Krishna says there, isn't it? Bahyasparsheshu, that was in the last 21, verse 21, I think. Bahyasparsheshu asaktalma vindati atmani yat sukham. That bahyasparsheshu asaktalma means that no sticking to anything, but at the same time totally satisfied inside. Not sticking to anything, but inside there is happiness. Asakteshu vindati atmani yat sukham. So, if you want to know this, it is in the Shrimad Bhagavatam also. In many places you will see this mood in many people. If you remember, in Ekadasha Skandam, when we were discussing, in the beginning of this, Krishna quotes Yadu Maharajav, isn't it? Yadu, King Yadu's experience. Yadu, Krishna is called Yadava because he comes in the dynasty of Yadu. So what was this Yadu's great qualification? Yadu's qualification was this, that from the very beginning, his father Yayati asked him, you know that story in the ninth canto, isn't it? Yayati wanted to enjoy senses unlimitedly. And he had, from these two wives, Sharmishtha and Devayani, he had children. So Yadu, Turvasu, and Puru and Druhyu and Druhyu, they were all his children. So Druhyu and Druhyu and Puru from Sharmishtha, Yadu and Turvasu from Devayani. So when Yayati wanted to enjoy the senses, he wanted to exchange his old body and take the youth from the children. Imagine the desire inside of the old man. Yayati's desire, he's got so old, and these Kshatriyas are like that. You can see throughout history, they are like that. That they wanted to enjoy life so much that he says to his son, call Yadu first, and says to Yadu, Yadu, I'm getting old. If you can give your youth to me, and I give you my old age, and I'll make you the emperor. Yadu says, I don't want any business with you. He says, I know what this body has been given to me. He's also a Kshatriya, but spiritually much more developed in that way. So Yadu says, I don't want to give you my youth. I've got this body for a purpose, higher purpose, not for sense enjoyment, like the way you are thinking about it. So there, he may have refused to Yadu. Yadu may have refused to his father Yayati, but Yadu is properly situated. Therefore, Krishna glorifies Yadu, not Yayati. Krishna glorifies Yadu. Although son should listen to the father, isn't it? There are statements in the Shastram that the son who listens to the father is the best. One who knows father's mind and acts, he is the best. And one who accepts the instruction and does it, he is the medium one. One who doesn't do it even after being told, he is like the stool. It says like that. In the Bhagavatam itself, the statement is there. So our Yadu was, practically if you can see from the Bhagavatam statement alone, he belonged to the third category. Wouldn't listen. So Yadu, nobody listened except Puru. Puru listened. Puru said, okay, it's my father who is asking, I'll give it to him. And the result was that only Puviru became empress. Yadu could not become an emperor. So that's why Krishna says later on, when he was, after killing Kamsa, when the throne was offered, he says to Ugrasena, in my ray, in my lineage, we can't become emperors. We have been cursed by Ayati. We will never become empress. So he says to Ugrasena, now you take control of the kingdom. I'm not going to take the position of Kamsa's position. So Ugrasena was called in to do that. Krishna wouldn't take it. So Krishna says about Yadu like this. Edoscha dharmashilasa nidaram munisattama. Dharmam was Yadu's stronghold. He was always fixed in dharmam. So he says here, in the Ekadasham you will notice that when Krishna is talking to Uddhava, he first spoke about that. I will talk about this incident, what happened, a conversation between Yadu and the Dattatreya Maharshi. Remember that? And that's when the Dattatreya Maharshi says to Yadu about the 24 spiritual masters in the Bhagavatam. So, and Krishna, the king is saying, Parama Prashandam, that Yadu is saying like this, when he saw the Dattatreya Maharshi, Parama Prashandam, that totally peaceful. So, what happened was that, so, Yadu Maharaj was looking outside and he saw the Dattatreya Maharshi walking that way. So, in Avadhuta Vesham, Avadhuta means one who has no possessions in this world, left everything. There were a lot of distractions in the street, so many objects. But Yadu saw from his palace that the Dattatreya Maharshi was passing through in that way. When he looked at the Dattatreya Maharshi, Yadu noticed that he was not looking at anything. As I mentioned before, jnanis are like that, realized souls. They are not seeing anything in this world anymore because no senses are functioning for them. That's why when you look at that 24 spiritual masters, you can see that the state of consciousness of Dattatreya Maharshi. Sometimes he says, I'll be fed a big feast. And sometimes there'll be nothing to eat. In both the situations, no complaints. No mind has not moved. Dattatreya says, I took care of that. That I don't get disturbed over anything. Kochid annam, kochid alpam, kochid bhuri, he says. Sometimes very little, sometimes a lot to eat. Big feast. Sometimes there's nothing to eat. Kochid alpam, kochid bhuri. Swadu asadua. Sometimes it's tasty. Sometimes you couldn't touch it. That bad the food was. I will not allow my mind to get disturbed over it. It's all there in the Bhagavatam. So this nature is there in the Yadu. In the Dattatreya Maharshi. So Dattatreya Maharshi was walking through and king looked at him, Yadu, and he noticed that his drishti is not anywhere, is not outside. So, just like when it's very hot, you're driving somewhere, you'll switch on the AC, isn't it? Similarly, the whole world is burning. Whole world is burning with material desires and sense enjoyment. In the middle of that, he's sitting there like though as he's sitting in an AC car, air-conditioned car. Like when you are traveling in a very hot weather, if there is AC in the car, you will switch it on and you will enjoy the coolness and you won't be affected by the world outside. Isn't it? Similarly, the Dattatreya Maharshi, when Yadu saw, it was something like that. Yadu was walking through this world and so much of problems in this world, the material world is creating all sorts of problems, but completely unaffected by everything, Yadu was walking through this world. Janeshu dehyamaneshu kama lobha davagninam. It says there, ordinary people, they have their kamam, desires to fulfill, lobham, the greed, and they are burning in this desires, and in their greed, they are burning because of that, isn't it? We can see that. They are burning in this world. Janeshu dehyamaneshu kama lobha davagninam. Kamam and lobham, material desires and greed. Dhavagni. It's called the forest fire. In that forest fire, Janeshu Dehyamaneshu, people are burning in that forest fire. In the middle of all that, this one person alone, he is standing there as though he is standing in the water, and completely unaffected by the fire outside. So, in the Bhagavadam, if you look at that, it says that the Janeshu Dahyamaneshu Kamalobhadavagnina Natabasye Agnina Mukto Gangambasta Ivadvibhaha. So, Yadu's question, Kudo Buddhiriyam Brahman Akartu Suvisharada Yamasadhya Bhavam Lokam Vidvam Sharadi Balavat Prayo Dharmartakameshu Vivil Sayam Jamanava Hedunaiva Samihande Aisho Esasashriyaha Tam Dukalpaka Virdaksha Subhago Amrdabhashana Nakarta Nehase Kinjil Jenon Matta Pishachavat Janeshu Dehyamaneshu Kamalo Bhadavagninaha Natabasi Agnina Mukto Ganga Ambastaiva Dvibaha Tum Hina Prachadam Brahman Atmanyanandagaranam Bruhi Sparshavihinasya Bhavada Keval Atmana. These are the five verses Yadu spoke to the Tatraya Maharshi. He is saying to them that although you appear as though you are very learned person, but you are moving like a child here. Vidvam Sharadi Bhalavat. Like a child you are moving. This realized soul, if you observe them, even their photograph if you look, you will see them. They are not looking at anything. Because inside that realization has happened. So therefore senses are practically not doing anything. Our eyes and senses are how are they? As soon as there is something, they will look for it, isn't it? That it takes immediate notice. But self-realization happens, then you will notice that they are not looking anywhere, they are not hearing any sound from this world, they are not feeling any attraction to any sense objects in this world. That is the immediate state after the self-realization. All Mahatmas are like that. Not one only. Any photographs, if you look, you can look at many of them, it will be like that. Even from the photographs, you will notice that they are not looking at anything particularly. They are looking, but the eyes are not seeing anything. That state. Just like the babies. Just like the babies are. So, Vidvam Sharadi Balavad. So, then he says here, Tumdu Kalpa Kavir Daksha Subhago Amrata Bhashana. And you speak so sweet. And at the same time, na karta ehase kinchil jadonmata pishachavat. There is no ownership in anything what you are doing. And jadam unmata pishachavat. You look like a dead person. And the body looks as though jadam. Jadam means not active in this world. Unmatam, as like a mad person. He had no clothes on this body. Pishachavat, like a devil. He was moving around in this world. Janeshu Dehyamaneshu Kamalobhadavagninaha. That Janeshu Dehyaman Kamam Lobham, greed and the desires, and in that forest fire, people are burning in that. Natavasi Agnina Mukto Gangam Bastaiva Dibaha. That, but you are not disturbed by that fire at all, and at the same time, Gangam Bastaiva Dibaha, just like an elephant which is on the banks of a river, Ganga River, in the whole forest near the river has got fire. So what does the elephant do? It goes into the river and stands in the river. And that river, elephant knows very well that he is protected in the water. Fire won't get there. Similarly, this whole thing is burning. A material world is burning with greed and lust and anger and everything. All kinds of problems. And in the middle of all that, you are so cool and peaceful about everything. Can you tell us why it is like that? This was our questions from King Yadu to the Tatraya Maharshi. He's asking like this. So cool, and how is it possible in the middle of all these things? So, the king is asking how is this possible to be in that situation? And similarly, while being in the palace, Janaka was like that, wasn't it? We talked about Janaka many times before. Ambarisha was like that, isn't it? Ambarisha also, if you remember, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ambarisha used to be. So, Yadu is saying, I also want to be in that state, like Janaka, like Ambarish. I also want to be in that state. Janaka was in the middle of all the opulences in the palace. Lot of responsibility, complete administration and everything else was going on around. But in the middle of all that, Janaka was in the platform of the soul, always fixed in the platform of the soul. Ambarish was like that. Ambarish also says the same thing, isn't it? Ambarish says that, what is it? Savaimane Krishna Padaravindayor Vajamsi Vaikunta Gunanuvarnani Karau Hare Mandira Marjana Dishu Shudim Chagara Chuda Salkadhote. That he says, even in the middle of all this administration, king means great opulences, material life, isn't it? But imagine, even in the middle of that great opulences, so Krishna conscious Deva. Ambarish Maharaj decided to go with the Ekadashi Dwadashi Aradhana. The 12 months how he performed Ekadashi Vratam in the Madhuvanam, in the Madhu forest. And then Dhruvasava Maharshi came there and all that in the 9th canto. You know that story, Ambarisha Charitam. So, what is important here is that, he says here that in the palace, Yadu is saying a lot of distraction. So, a lot of distraction. And he was very much thinking, Yadu was thinking, how do I realize the self in the middle of all these things? Unable to give it up because he was the king there. He was not the emperor, he was the king. And he says it was not possible. So it is at that time he is seeing this yogi, who Dattatreya Maharshi. He saw Dattatreya Maharshi. That he is saying to Dattatreya Maharshi, I have got all the happiness in this world, but I have no peace inside. I have no peace inside. And here is, his situation is like this. He says, I have got everything in this world, but I have no peace inside. And for you, you don't know where the next meal is going to come from, but you are totally happy. Why is it like this? This is a question he is raising. He's raising this question. It's a very interesting question, isn't it? He's got everything in this world, but he says, I'm very disturbed inside. I have no peace inside. And you, he says to the Dattatreya Maharshi, you've got nothing. No clothes, no food to eat. You don't even know when the food is going to come, next meal is going to come. And you are in total happiness inside, complete shanti inside. So, so how did you get this stage, he's saying. This shanti, this tripti, this satisfaction and bliss inside, anandam, where is this coming from? So the king asked this question. He came down from the palace and asked this to our Avadhuda. And he first paid his obeisances to Avadhuda. Our Yadu paid his obeisances to Avadhuda. And after that, the king is asking this question, how can I get there to this state? I am the king here, and all facilities I have got, but I am not able to stay like the way you are, in total happiness and peace. How is it possible? It's this amazing thing, he says to him. So, and not only that, you are very healthy as well, apart from all these things. So, normally, it is interesting. You go to somebody who is very healthy, but he is old as well. He has gone old, but he is very healthy. You go and ask him, how come you are so healthy? Somebody who is old, but it so happened that he is healthy. So you go and ask him, you are such an old man, why? How come you are so healthy? He says, and can you tell me the secret of that? People ask all these things, isn't it? So, the secret is Bahya Sparsheshu Asaktalma. That's what Krishna is saying there in the Bhagavad Gita. So if you ask that question, that person will think, why is he asking? Is he envious of my health? Or things like that, isn't it? In the same situation now, Yadu in the Dattatreya Maharshi. Yadu has got everything, but he hasn't got what he wanted. That is that happiness inside. And here, the Dattatreya Maharshi has nothing, but he has got the happiness. So naturally, Yadu wanted to know from Dattatreya, what's the secret behind this? That's a similar question like this, you know. Somebody who is very healthy, you're going asking, how come you're so healthy? What will you answer? Can't answer to that question, can you? So same way, Yadu is also asking Dattatreya Maharshi, in the same way, then how come you are so happy? Actually, it is not Dattatreya Maharshi's fault. Dattatreya Maharshi is in knowledge. So what can you do? And Yadu has not got it yet. So Yadu is asking this question. You don't have, seems to have any wealth with you. You have no palace. You have no opulences. You have not even got clothes. You don't have even the food. It's not guaranteed you will have the next meal. But you are happy. Why you are happy? That is Yadu's question. So, bahyasparsheshu asaktalma. Is it possible to become like this without feeling any attraction to these sense objects outside and to turn the mind inward looking? So, at that time, the Avadhuta Dattatreya says to Yadu how he has developed this state. That's where the 24 spiritual masters comes in the Bhagavadam, isn't it? 24 spiritual masters we have seen. Prithvi, Vayur, Akasham, Amogni, Chandramandavi, Kapotam, Majagara, Sindhu, Patangam, Adgal, Gaja, Madhuha, Harino, Meena, Pingala, Kuraram, Arbhaga, Kumari, Sharaval, Sarpam, Urnanabhi, Subheshagrat. 24. These 24, I have learned this, he says. So, that is the way spiritual life has to be. Seeing things, learning it, and taking it on board. Not keeping it in the head. That is no use. Keeping it in the head. It has to become our realization. Otherwise, it's not spiritual. It's no useless. So, 24 spiritual masters, the Dattatreya Maharshi says to him that, I have learned all these techniques. He calls it as techniques. That from them, from these 24 spiritual masters, that different things from different people. Different things from different people. Similarly from satsangam, and also from many places in this world, you will get many understanding about life. And using all these techniques and using all these experiences in this world, somehow or the other, we have to get the mind to go inward looking. We have to get the mind to go inward looking. It's only for that purpose all this was spoken. 24 spiritual masters. Because the Dattatreya Maharshi understood the problem, that the mind has this nature to go outside to enjoy. And he kept observing, and because he was very, in a Chitta Shuddhi was so good, Prajna Shuddhi was so good, that when he saw something, he saw the subtle things in that. When he saw Pingala, he saw what is Pingala's state of mind, and how Pingala, Kapo the birds, all Prithvi, earth. First he talks about five material elements, isn't it? Prithvi, Vayu, Akasham, Apam, Agni. Five material elements, what I learned from them. Because this world is five material elements. So from five material elements, what I have to learn, he thought. And each one of them he is analyzing there and seeing, this is what I learned from Mother Earth. This is what I learned from water. This is what I learned from the sky. This is what I learned from the sea. From the wind. This is what I learned from the fire. Like this. Earth, this is I learned from earth. Earth, water, air, ether, fire. The five material elements is the first five out of the 24 that we talked about in the Akasha Skandha. So, like this, he is learning all the time and changing inside, developing that understanding. And whatever he has learned, it becomes his realization. It becomes his realization. So, idea is, but when you keep on doing this, eventually, the mind which is going towards sense objects, for sense enjoyment, then that will, we have to get him in. Somehow stop him from going out and allow, ask him to getting in. So sometimes some mad people, they escape from the lunatic asylum, from the mad hospital. They come out. What's the immediate thing to do? You have to get them back inside again. Isn't it? Otherwise, they will create more trouble to others. Similarly, this fellow inside the mind, when he goes out looking for happiness, immediately we have to get him back inside. Otherwise, it is danger. So, mind goes out, what it does, so it starts wandering around all over. And if he manages to bring him back inside to where he came from, and in that case, you can stay peacefully in this world. Otherwise, he will push us back into the pit again, into that dangerous pit. Therefore, Krishna is saying here that at least before death happens, all this kamam krodham, one who wins over this lust anger, desire, and all other kinds of things. Whatever effort you have to put into it, you have to put into that effort necessary, and you can succeed over all these. This is called vegam. Vegam means kamam, krotham, lobham, moham, madam, atsaryam. All the different kinds of weaknesses in us, if you want to call it like that. Lust, anger, greed, and illusion, and competition, and all these kind of things. Six things. Kama, krotham. So, one who can win over that, and that is the first stage. First stage of self-realization. Without getting bound in the karma in this world, voluntarily I am saying to myself that I should go back to the soul inside, to my real identity, spiritual identity. One who is thinking like that, he can escape. And that's what Krishna is saying in the next verse. Text 23. Shakno dihaiva yasodham. Praksharira vimokshana. Kama krodhodbhavam vegam. Sayukta sasukhi nara. Shakno deva shakno dihaiva yasodham. Praksharira vimokshanat. Kama krodhodbhavam vegam. Sayukta sasukhi nara. Shakno dihaiva yasodham. Praksharira vimokshanat. Kama krodhodbhavam vegam sa yukta sasukhi nara. Before giving up this present body, if one is able to tolerate the urges of the material senses and check the force of desire and anger, he is a yogi and is happy in this world. So, praksharira vimokshanad, Krishna says, isn't it? So important. That at least before death, this state one should get to. Praksharira vimokshanat. If you get to that state, then you can, after death, there is nothing to worry. When the body drops away, you have got out of this place. Don't have to come back again. Otherwise, if we keep on making plans and keep on going on with our ideas in this world, Krishna says it will never happen. It is not possible. So this is the understanding Bhagavad Gita is giving to us. That at least before that, yuktaha, Krishna says, yogi, sukhi. So who is sukhi is yukta. One who is yukta, he is sukhi. Shaknodi. Shaknodi means practical. In practical. Ihaiva. While remaining in this body, praksharira vimokshanad. That means, whilst living in this body, not getting pushed or no urges from inside due to anger, lust or greed or anything. And due to that, no urges are created inside and no action is happening. No action under the pressure of your anger or greed or lust, no action happens and fall into vegam. Vegam means the drive. The drive from inside. both lust and lust means desires, in other words. Desires and anger, it's a force, isn't it? It's a force. But both are on its own, doesn't have any strength. So that it's jadam. Both are jadam. Jadam means on their own, they don't have any strength. Where does it get its strength? It gets strength from us. Those thoughts on its own, kamam and krotham, those two vigaram, they are vigaram, emotions, isn't it? On their own, they don't have any strength. They are jadam. But they get the strength, we create, generate a force inside and tell some, do this and do that. And sell some. And even if you do that, one who has got the strength not to do it, not to do it, one who has got that strength, he is a yogi, Krishna is saying. He is a yogi. Then he has reached that state. Intelligence is saying to us that you should live like this, sit down, you should conduct things like this. Mind does not allow that, not listening to it, wanders around all over the world. And one who has got that desire inside, Ichashakti. Ichashakti means that strength inside to take the right position. Such a person, Krishna says, yogi, he has already reached that state of happiness. He is called Brahmanishtan, and for him, the life is complete. Krishna says the life is complete. So, this principle of Krishna consciousness, what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, is beginning with all this understanding, what the knowledge. That's why in this chapter, you will see Krishna has spoken that it is Karma Yogam, but Prabhupada's title is Action in Krishna Consciousness. How to act in this world in Krishna Consciousness. That's why that title has come from. Action in Krishna Consciousness. How to act in this world in Krishna Consciousness. So, it is Karma Yogam. It is practically an extension of the chapter 3, which was Karma Yogam. But there the science was spoken. Here, the application of that science, technology behind it. So, that's what the difference is. Karma Yogam, action in Krishna Consciousness, Prabhupada called it like that. So, you can see there that before giving up this present body, shaknodi ihaiva yasodham, prak sharira vimokshanat, kamam krododbhavam vegam, sa yukta sasughi nara. Vega means that urge inside, kamam and krodham, krododbhavam. They are coming from, the urge is coming from the kamam and krodham, the udbhavam vegam. Vegam is coming from the kama krododbhavam vegam. Sa yukta sasughi nara. He is a yukta who has learned to control them. Control means not through your false ego, the control from the false ego, but through knowledge. Through knowledge. After accepting what Krishna has spoken, all that you have accepted completely inside, and through that acceptance, this yukta state has come. Yukta state has come. After, because of the acceptance inside. Not by false ego, oh, when the anger comes, I'll control it and inside burning at the same time. That's no good. That's not what Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying that you have accepted this, you have realized the knowledge, what Krishna has spoken in this chapter. And from that realization, you have become free from this problems of desires and problems of anger. And in that way, you have escaped from this and you are a yogi in that state. One is able to tolerate the urges of the material senses and check the faults of desire and anger. He is a yogi and happy in this world. Prak sharira vimokshanat. Krishna says, kama krododbhavam vegam sa yukta sa sughi nara. He says, such a person is sughi and happy in this world. So, also, this auspicious word is there in the mangalam. Isn't it? Mangala means auspiciousness. So, Shivam Advaitam Chaturtham Manyade. So Shruti means Vedas are saying, in Chaturtham Manyande, Jagrat Sotnam Sushupti, all these three states, one who is a witness, that is Atma. Atma is a witness, isn't it? Jagrat Sotnam Sushupti is the product of the three modes of material nature. And it affects the mind, intelligence, that's where it is present. So, the soul, who is a witness, is independent of all that things, isn't it? That one who knows that soul properly, he is liberated. He is liberated already. And so therefore, Acharya Swamiji says there that intelligence should be always rooted in the soul. Intelligence should be rooted in the soul. What is that soul? He says, Atmanam tvam girijamadi sahachara prana shariram griham pujadi vishayova bhogarajana nidra samadhisthiti sanchara padayo pradakshana vidi stotrani sarvagira yadyat karma karomi tadagilam shambho tavaradhanam. Shivamanasa Puja is a famous prayer he wrote, and he says there like this: Atmam Atma Tvam Girijamadi Sahajara Prana Shariram Griham. That is looking at himself and saying, Prana Shariram Griham, that this house is a body, the body is a house for the Pranan. Body is a, let me realize this, he says, body is a house for Pranan, Pranan to live. Pujadi Vishayobha Bhoga Rajana, that whenever my senses are engaged in any sense gratification, in other words, even little sense gratification, whatever it's just doing, let that become your worship. Let that become your worship. And so that the senses, mind will not go to the world outside, leaving you. Nidra samadhi sthiti. Even while sleeping, that let it not be sleep. Let that become a samadhi sthiti. Let that be a state of samadhi, not nidra. Nidra is tamogunam. But samadhi sthiti is not tamogunam. You realize the state. So, nidra samadhi sthiti. Sanjara padayo pradakshana vidhi. That if I have to wander around in this world, let me be conscious that I am circumambulating you. I am circumambulating you. You are in the middle, I am circumambulating you. Sanjara padayo pradakshana vidhi. Stotrani sarva giraha. Whatever I am speaking, let that be your glorification. Your glorification. Yad karma karomi tadagilam. Whatever karma I am performing with my senses of action, let that be your karma. That means to for your pleasure. Yat tad karma karodi tad ahilam shambho tavaradhanam. Everything what I am do, let that become your worship. This is Ajari Swamiji's famous Shivamanasa Puja. You can see these five verses are there. And in there he says like this. Now, this is as far as Ajari Swami is concerned. Now, Ambarish Maharaj, what does he say in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Exactly the same thing. Isn't it? If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there, he says in the ninth canto, that Aham hai, the Ambarish's verses, if you look, you will see there. It says here, Savai mane Krishna padara vindayor Vajamsi vaikunda guna anuvarnani Karauharer mandiramarjana adishu Shudim jagara chuda salkadodaye Mukundalingalaya darshani drishau Tal bhrityagatra sparshenga sangamam Granam jatalpada saroja saurabhe Shrimal tulasyam rasanam tadarpide Padau hare kshetra padanu sarpani Shiro krishigesha padabhi vandani Kamam jadasyanadu kama kameya Yaduttama shloka jana shrayarati. This is a famous statement from Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj, Saptadvipavadi Mahim. He was the controller of the seven seas. Ambarish Maharaj, he says here. So he says here, if the mind has to go anywhere else outside, let that go to Krishna's lotus feet. First thing. Vajamsi Vaikuntha Gunanu Varnane. If I have to speak something, my words, let that be glorification of Vaikuntha, Krishna. Karau Harer Mandiram Arjana Adishu. If I have hands have to do something, let that be for cleaning the temple. Shrudim Jagara Chuda Satkat Hodaye. If I have to hear something, my ears, let that be hearing about Achyuta Salkada, about Krishna. Mukunda Lingale Darshani Drishav. If I have to see something, let that be seeing Krishna's form in the temple. Tad Bhrityaga, or when you see any other form in this world, let that be my realization that I am seeing Krishna in that living entity. Tad Darshani Drishav Tal Bhrityagatra Sparshe Anga Sangamam. If I have to touch somebody, let that be Krishna's servants who are serving Krishna. Ghranam jatal pada saroja saurabham. That if I have to smell something, let me smell the lotus flower and Krishna's lotus feet. Srimal tulasyam rasanam tadarpide. If I want to taste something, let that be the tulsili from Krishna's lotus feet. Padau harai kshetra padanu sarpani. If I have to walk somewhere, let that be circumambulating the deity in the temple. Shiro Hrishikesha Padabhivandane. If my head has to do something, let it do only one thing. Always paying the obeisances to Krishna's lotus feet. Kamam jadasye nadu kama kamyaya. There are not be any other desires to be fulfilled in this world. And whatever desires are there inside, yaduttama shloka janashraya aradi. The only desire to be has to be, he says, uttama shloka janashraya aradi, to be in the association of those devotees who have taken Krishna shelter and to be in their association, let the desire develop in that way. So you can see these three verses in the Bhagavatam, Ajari Swamiji's verse in the Shivamanasa Puja, they're all talking about the same thing, that only desire is to keep in, always in the hearing about Bhagavad Gita, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and be in the association of devotees who have that consciousness in them. So that is why we say here that you can see Shambhotava Aradhanam, that you are inside me as the soul. Buddhistam Girija. Buddhi, intelligence, is Girija, Sri Parvati. So, and then the Atmatvam Girija, the verse he says here, Atmatvam Girija Sahachara. What is this Sahachara? Sahachara means the pranan. Pranan is all together with these things, mind and intelligence, isn't it? So the same pranan, one same energy, is in five different places in the body, and therefore it's given five different names. Because they are in five different places in the body, so they are given five different names. pranan, apanan, samanan, udanan, vyanan. The five kinds of air in the body. Pranan is in the heart. Apanan is at the rectum. Samanan is at the bottom of the belly. Udanan is at the throat. And Vyanan is all over the body. Vyanan is all over the body. Pranan, Apanan, Samanan, Udanan, Vyanan. The five different days. These are Panchapranan, they are called. Panchapranan. Then there are Upapranans, which are again another classification, many of them. Pranan is all the time with the soul. It's always with the soul. That's why it is in the heart, where the soul is present. And therefore, the material body is considered to be a temple. Material body is considered to be a temple. It's a kshetram. It's called a kshetram for this reason. Once we know that and worshipping him inside that temple is the actual worship. It's actual worship. It's like it says that if Buddhi is engaged in that worship, then Buddhi is properly situated. Buddhi is all properly situated. So, Yadevi Sarvabhodeshu Buddhi Rubena Samstida Namastase 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 Namonama. That Sri Parvati, who is present inside in the form of intelligence, we pay our respects to her in that way. Because she is also engaged in the service of this soul pranan inside through this Buddhi. She is engaged in the service of the soul, which is Krishna inside. So, Yadevi Sarvabhodeshu, that is from the Devi Mahatmyam. And that worship is going on all the time, isn't it? Pranan, the five pran life air in this body, is completely absorbed in the service of the soul inside. Yeah? Inside the service of the soul. And he says here that all the food what you are taking is nothing but an offering to that inside. That's Nivedyam. Nivedyam it's called, isn't it? When you offer to the deity, it's called Nivedyam. So the deity inside, the soul who is present inside, the food, let the food what I'm eating, or all of us eating, it should go in as an offering to that deity inside. With that consciousness, we are supposed to eat. You know that when we sing, chant this prayer, Sharira Vidya Jal and all that, this is what it is expected from us. We just sing the verse and we eat. I've done my duty, I've eaten now. But we have to understand why this is sung, for this reason only, that it is inside, Krishna is present there in the form of the soul. The food is actually an offering to that deity inside. who is Vincent? Bhogai Atmanam Atmani. Every bhogam is a worship of the Atma inside. Worship of the, it has to turn like that. If you do it that way, then it's not bhogam anymore. It's not bhogam. Otherwise, it's a sense enjoyment. It is sense enjoyment. So, advanced understanding, spiritually realized personalities, they do it in that way. So, similarly, when we are moving our body all over the world, wandering around here, there, everywhere, you should be understood that it is a pradakshanam, circumambulation of Krishna present in this world. In that consciousness, we have to walk, circumambulation. So, and at the same time, when you are sleeping, you have to remember, it is a samadhi state of the soul inside. In that consciousness, you have to sleep. So, that is what that verse is saying here, that Atmatvam Girijamati Sahajara Prana Shariram Griham Pujade Vishayobha Bhogarajana Nidra Samadhi Sthiti Sanjara Padayo Pradakshana Vidhi Stotrani Sarva Gira Yadya Kama Karma Karodi Tathagilam Shambhota Varadhanam. So, if in the Manasa Puja, in the prayers with the mind, one can do puja within oneself. That's called Manasa Puja. Manasa Puja means that, say for example, there is a technique. This itself is a kind of a technique, that Manasa Puja. Manasa Puja means that you don't have to physically do it, but inside meditating on all these things, one after the other. There's a Manasa Puja process discussed. That you are inviting Krishna, and he is situated there, offering him a seat, and then all the introductory activities like washing hands, washing Krishna's feet, and offering nice prasadam, then a towel to dry his hands, and then arranging a bed for Krishna to sleep, and continuously for a few minutes meditating this every day. This is called Manasa Puja. So this is Shiva Manasa Puja, Vishnu Manasa Puja, all are there in different ways, because when you are doing that, you have to meditate on the form of the deity whom you are doing the puja, or Manasa Puja is performed. So here it says, for Shiva Manasa Puja is what Ajari Swamiji has written, this where he is saying all these things. So he says here, Nidra Samadhi Sthiti. Nidra is that sleeping state, is samadhi. It has to become samadhi, not ordinary sleep, what we talk about. Our sleep is what? Our sleep is never samadhi sthiti, isn't it? It's our sleep is just escaping from the miseries of this world. Even if it is ignorance, doesn't matter. At least I've escaped from this world. That is our sleep. But let that not become like that, he says. Let that be samadhi sthiti. In samadhi sthiti. So, in order that to happen, the vasanas have to go, first of all. Because, why does it become a sleep and not samadhi? Because there is vasanas inside. So, vishaya vasana, as long as vasanas are inside, as long as vasanas inside, mind will go and dissolve in the vasanas. Normally, mind has come from the soul. Isn't it? Mind has come from the soul. So, if there is no vasanas inside, where will the mind will go and dissolve? Mind will go and dissolve in the soul. Mind will go and dissolve in the soul. That is why the jnanis who are realized, who have no vasanas, their mind goes into the soul and dissolves. So, therefore, their sleep is different. They are in the samadhi states. So, normally this is expected from sannyasis also. This is the state of sannyasis, state of consciousness. They are supposed to be in that state. But I think sannyasis are more tense than anybody else in this world nowadays. They are not getting sleep because of their involvement in this world to such an extent. So, therefore it says here, that's why, remember I mentioned this before, in the great, great muds, when the sannyasis wake up in the morning and come out, because they were in the samadhi state, they were visited Kailasam or Vaikuntham, wherever they had been. So, in the morning you show aradhi to them, as a matter of respect to them, that they have gone to Kailasam or Vaikuntham and have come. And so we offer respects to them because of that. So that we respects to them. So Kailasa Darshanam it is called. Kailasa Darshanam. Because it is a sangalpam that they have gone to Kailasam and come back. Kailasam and come back. So this is what it means is the mind goes and joins the soul. Joins the soul. From where it has come, it goes back to the same spot. So ordinary people, what happens to them? Their mind doesn't go back to the soul. What it does is, it goes back to the vasanas inside. To the vasanas inside. It will go and sit there and come back again. So that's why, when we wake up in the morning, all that vasanas we had yesterday comes back next day also. It doesn't leave us. It comes back in fact with more energy. It bounces back again the next day. Isn't it? It's amazing how it happens. That you've gone through one whole sleep where you've forgotten everything. But when the next morning when you wake up, the whole planning yesterday what you had done to sense enjoyment comes back in the same pattern the next day. Think about ourselves. You can see this happening, coming back again and again. So why? Because vishayavasanas are inside. So because yadi or yanis, they are situated like that, their mind goes back to the soul and deep-rootedly they go and dissolves there. Therefore, if you see, look at them in the morning when they wake up and comes out, it is auspicious to see them because they have woken up from that state. Exactly like the when the small babies, when they wake up. It's also like that. It's very beautiful, that is, isn't it? When the small babies wake up, you can see how beautiful they look. Then, why they look beautiful? Because they haven't had that. Vasanas have not manifested. It's still in the Karana Shariram. It has not moved to the Sushma Shariram yet. When it moves to Sushma Shariram, and then we start sleeping, and the mind goes back to Sushma Shariram, and start all that vasanas gets interaction with the mind. That's why when it wakes up again, it is bringing that vasana strongly outside again with that. So you can see this difference, a baby waking up and a very grown-up man, how he wakes up. When the grown-up man wakes up, it will be like a asura who wakes up from the to sleep. Look at him. He says, and he has to bathe and then put some cream and powder and all that to make him look okay. Otherwise, he looks awful. Isn't it? We all look very awful when we wake up in the morning. Wake up in the morning. Because asura vasana inside, that's where the mind is gone and dissolved in the night. And as you know that, we have the statement, isn't it? Face is the index of the mind. So what does that mean? This is what it means. It's where it's coming from. That the face is explaining the vasanas inside through the mind is explaining, mind is presenting it through the face. All the vishayavasana, asuravasana inside is coming out. For babies, it doesn't exist. Therefore, when baby wakes up, you look at the face, it's very fresh, always smiling, and ready to ready to play. So, very sad easiness coming to the baby because there is no vishayavasana inside at that stage yet. So, therefore, it is beautiful. The mind is going and dissolving at the same place. But you have to see what is in that place, what's stored there. That's more important. When the mind goes and dissolves, what is stored there, that's important. If there is full of vishayavasana, vasanas are present there, therefore it is bringing back all that vasanas and it is coming back in that state of consciousness in the morning again. In the morning again. So, therefore it says here, that yadhyartha karma karoti tadakhilam shambhotava aradhanam. Therefore, in order to develop that vishayavasanas to go away from inside, turn everything into Krishna service. Shambhotava aradhanam. So, aradhana means worship. If that is a state of knowledge and realization. For them, there is no need for them to do a separate worship or anything. Because that itself is their worship inside. This is a state of realization, of course. This is not possible for everybody. But this is what is we have to get to at the end. Just like we have deities at home. We do the deity worship without knowing any of these things. You think that, oh, I have to do this. I have to offer the flower. I have to do the fan, the deity. I'll just do it like a karma all day, every day. What's the use? It won't help. That kind of deity worship doesn't help. But with this understanding that everything is for getting rid of this vasanas from inside. Vasanas from inside. So without knowing this, if we know it and do it, it is called Shiva Puja. Offering, worshipping the deity properly, the Shiva Puja. If you don't know it and you are still doing it, it is Shava Puja. Shava means dead body. You are worshipping something very dead, without any life in it. Without any life in it. So, one who has this meditation inside all the time about deity worship and all requires a lot of meditation inside. Otherwise, deity worship won't have any. It will be simply a karmam, it becomes then. But those who are absorbed in deity worship generally in the past, why Brahmanas were engaged in deity worship? Because they have developed that strength of meditation inside. In Varnashrama Dharmam traditions, the others had no complaint about it because they felt that they are the right people to do that, for this reason only, that they were able to absorb their mind in that meditation and they lived a lifestyle in that way. They lived a lifestyle in that way. So they could do that justice to their job through proper meditation and absorption in that, and therefore their worship was proper. They could perform the worship. Brahmaja, Bhakta, Jnani. And whoever is in that meditation state is a yogi, isn't it? He is a yogi. So, Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam, all this is not the important. These are all dresses outside, what we refer to as Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastham and Sannyasam. But what is important is that wherever you are kept, in whichever situation one is, where the body is not important. Where the mind is, that's more important. Where the body is not important. Whether I identify myself as a Brahmachari or a Grahastha or a Vanaprastha or a Sannyasi, that has no meaning. But where my consciousness is, where my mind is, that's more important. That's more important. We have talked about this before also. In Sringeri, Chandrasekhara Bharati, I spoke about that before. Chandrasekhara Bharati Swamiji, he was Narasimha Bharati, he was called. In the middle of a big festival, one place there is drums playing, music is going on, and another place there is, they were having this fire, crackers were done, another place Vedas were being recited, and another place a lot of people are talking to each other. And in the middle of that, he was sitting there and completely in control of everything. And the drishti is very much inward looking. And he say he could sit like that for 3-4 hours like that, in that state, in the middle of all what was going on in this world. And when he comes back, for normal people, we go to a festival and spend a day or two there and come back, we are tired. Isn't it? For him, it was the other way. He goes to a festival, comes back more energized than before. Why? Even in the middle of all that festival, samadhi sthiti, that state of samadhi inside, means that the mind was not mixing with anything in the world outside. It was going to the soul, and then that samadhi, it gets its strength back and comes more with more vigor and energy. Therefore, Sringeri, they used to say that when they come back, everybody else is tired. Swamiji's had to go on different trips to all over the country. They had to travel because they had much other places, educational institutions, Veda Bhadashala, where they taught Vedas to the young children. So they had to go visiting them. And sometimes they will have satsangam on the way. They walked all around. They never traveled by car or any other modern amenities. It was not there important for them. For them, that to be in contact with ordinary people only, then you can do it. The moment you take to all these big modern arrangements, you will lose connection with ordinary people. Then you will be staying with the wealthiest people, and only wealthy people will come there. Poor people will be hesitant to go there. They will be hesitant. When the program is in some rich man's house, ordinary people find it difficult to go there. Isn't it? So therefore, they know these things well. They are not concerned rich or poor. They are concerned about people. So generally when they go, they will go through among the ordinary people, walking through them, keeping everything in their level. They come down to their level and live in that way. So there will be all the way through in their journey, their years and years they will take walking around in satsangam, in instructing people, in discussions about shastram. All these kind of things will happen to you throughout the journey. And they will live as simple as possible, because by living in that way, people have access to them. Otherwise, you won't get access to them, isn't it? Ordinary people won't have any access. Nowadays, because it's in a different way, it is all happening now, so it's also difficult for most of the people to keep that connection with them. We look at them and think, oh, they are some special people, and we want to find out how they live in this world. And when you look at them, they are living in the most posh place in this world. And he is brought in a Mercedes to the temple and brought in like a deity. He is brought inside and he is sitting there and he is talking to you about Srimad Bhagavatam and you are listening all this. So whole thing becomes very difficult for ordinary people to relate with. But someone who is with you living that life of austerity and simplicity, you immediately understand that this is life. That is the life to be the example for us. Otherwise, where is the example? He himself is living in the posh place and living in the best possible way. So this is the reason why they will never leave that habit under all circumstances. Even when rich people come and present them with rich presents or gifts or anything, in order to please them, they will accept it because they didn't want to discriminate. That duality they don't want happen. So they will accept it, but they won't use it for their own benefits, their own happy. They will not say, oh, I'll dovetail all this now in Krishna service. I'll live comfortably in that dovetailing process. So that's not their purpose. That they stick to that, what they have understood, what Krishna is saying, that is what it should be. And there is no question of any deviation from that. And they will remain always being worshipped and being glorified by the others. They will accept them because they have living that life, honest and truthfulness in their dealings with the world. So here also, there's an example we are saying here, that dhyanam inside, the meditation is always there. Sometimes when you pass through villages and all that, it is very, very difficult. Prasadam is concerned could be a problem. Waiting could be a problem. But some of the extremely advanced devotees among them, they were so good that even if one day they were offered gold coins, they were showered on them. They have this in their sannyasis who are in that position, they will be dressed up like the royal way and they pour gold coins on their head for their 80th birthday, 90th birthday, out of their respects for them. Kanakadhara, they call it. But the same sannyasi, when he found that the situation is not good, what did he do? He took this danda and walked out from there. I'm not going to be a part of this. This is spiritual strength. This is spirituality. Nowadays what happens? They will never leave. No matter what you talk about them, write about them, what the public thinks about them, they will hang on. They will not answer. They will not reply. They'll keep quiet. I have nothing to answer. You don't know anything. That's their attitude. But in the past, it wasn't like that. All these great acharyas on the mats, one person speaks anything about them if it is on their character or on their lifestyle, he will take the danda and walk out of the ashram and say goodbye. Go back to the forest again. That is how they were. That is the tradition of the jnanis. Suryavamsham is like that. All the kings on the peninsula. Like but do you see that any time now? Anywhere? It is so difficult, isn't it? So that is the way the world is today. So, Shambhota Varadhanam. So in the Shivananda Lahari also, Ajani Swamiji wrote many, many songs like this to explain to us the understanding of spiritual life, what spiritual life means. Spiritual life means all these things, that freeing oneself from the body and bodily identity. When Chandrasekhar Saraswati left Kanji and went to Satara in Maharashtra, where he went and lived many years there in Maharashtra. In the Tamil Nadu at that time, the Vedic traditions have fallen apart, everything. Things went really bad. And he felt that he has to go somewhere where he could execute his spiritual life properly. That's why he went to Satara in Maharashtra. Maharashtra was, it was strong that time. So while going, it took him many months to get to Satara from Kanji. It's over a distance of about nearly 2,000 kilometers. He walked that. And while walking, you can see how he lived. On the way, he slept on the footpath somewhere, some empty buildings he found. Outside he slept. And all he had was, he had no shoes or slippers, anything. Just the cloth on his body and the dhoti and the cloth, covering cloth like this, and the water pot and the dandam. That's all. That's his wealth. And while walking, he slept wherever in the evening, wherever he got there, he found a place somewhere and he slept there. Whenever he found a tank somewhere, he bathed there. You find so many tanks and on the way, isn't it? While walking on the road, you find somewhere, some tank, he bathed there. And whenever he felt really hungry that he couldn't find anything, that he's walking alone he's walking, on the way, he was, when he was hungry, he asked somebody for some food. Whatever little he got, he ate it and satisfied with it. This was that personality. Kanji Kamakotipiya. And even after reaching Satara, life hasn't changed. It was the same thing for him. So what I'm saying is that consciousness has to be guarded all the time, not to get polluted by this happiness of this world, polluted by the opulences of this world. Then it's gone. Everything is gone after that. You can't have it anymore. You can't have both. You can't have spirituality. You can't have all kinds of sensual happiness in this world. Even those who have reached that state, this is all happening at the age of 80 and 85, is doing this, like this. The chances of any fall down at that age is very little, isn't it? By now, 80, 85. But even at that stage, they act like this. Why? To show to others that this is how you should live in this world, in that simplicity. Because if they take to opulent life and all kinds of sense enjoyment, or even if they give a little impression to the public that is okay to do that, public will naturally fall into it. They will also think that that's the way to go in spiritual life. If we all become like that, what will happen in this world? Where will be any spirituality left here then? So, Shivananda Lahari, he wrote, and in that Shivananda Lahari, he says like this, that Vadutva gehi vayadirabi jadiva tadidaro naro vayakashil bhavadu bhavakim tena bhavadi yadi yam hralpatmam yadi bhavadadhinam pashupade tadi yastum shambho bhavasi bhavabharam javakasi guhayam gehi va bahirabi vane vadrishikare jale va vanno va vasadu vasate kim vadabalam These are two verses, and then asare samsare nija bhajane dure jadadiya brahmandham mamandham paramakrabaya padumujitam madanya kodina tavakrabana rakshadi nibuna todanya kova me trijagadisharanya pashupate. So in Shivananda Lahari, Ajari Swamiji is saying to Shiva that my situation is like this, that I have no way, that important thing is that I should have bhakti inside. Bhakti inside. Where I am situated doesn't matter. Where I am situated doesn't matter. That whether I am a Brahmana or whatever caste, whether I am a Grihastha, Vanaprastha or Sannyasi, whatever it may be, whether I am living anywhere, whether I am inside the temple or outside the temple, in one whose heart there is always this meditation about the soul, Atmadhyanam, and one whose mind has completely come under control, that he is situated, or whose mind is like a lamp, oil lamp, which does not flicker in the wind. When there is wind, it flickers, isn't it? But when there is no wind, it doesn't flicker. The lamp stays steady, very steady. So similarly, one whose mind is like that, in the middle of dhyanam, in the middle of this meditation, wherever he is situated, saja paramasukhi, he is absolutely in happy state. One who has reached that state. And, or whose mind does not go into the objects outside. Mind does not go and look for sense objects outside. Sasukhi nara. Krishna says that in that verse. If you look, you will see there that that's that verse is talking about. Shaknodi ihaiva yasodham praksharira vimoshanal kama krodolbhavam vegam sa yukta sasukhi nara. That sayukta sasughi nara means this. Sayukta sasughi nara. That person is yukta. He knows what is what goes on. Sayukta. He is yukta. And he is sasughi. Sayukta sasughi nara. Krishna is saying about that person. Whose mind is not subjected to kamam, and lust or desires or anger. None of them is binding him. And he is sasukhi nara. When the anger and desires doesn't attract him, doesn't bother him, and always constantly in consciousness of the soul inside, which means that he is aware of his existence of consciousness as the awareness of the soul inside all the time. That means anger, lust and all cannot touch him anymore, because he is fixed in that consciousness of his identity as the soul. His identity as the soul. So, Atmanubhavam. Atmanubhavam means experience of the soul. What is that experience? I am existing. I am existing. That awareness, which is I mentioned before many times, that's the only signal we have of the soul inside. The main signal what we have of the presence of the soul inside is the signal what we receive of my awareness of existence. Isn't it? My own existence, which you can never take it away. I'm there in the Jagrat state, in the Sushupti state, and in the deep sleep also. The proof is after deep sleep, when we come back, that awareness is the first thing what comes back of my own identity. So, in Shaiva Siddhantam also, Lord Shiva's followers, like Vaishnava Siddhantam, there is Shaiva Siddhantam also, Lord Shiva. Nilakanta Shastri was a famous, Nilakanta was a famous Shaiva Acharya. Like Vaishnava Acharya, Manija Madhva and all that, Nilakanta Acharya was a famous Acharya among them. And they meditate on Lord Shiva, not in the form of matted hair or the trident, like the way Lord Shiva is depicted normally, but on Namo Aham Padarthaya Lokanam Siddhihedavi Sachidananda Rupaya Shivaya Paramatmane. That is how they see Lord Shiva. Just like we say about Krishna. In the same way, they say about Lord Shiva, that Namo Aham Padarthaya, that awareness inside me. Actually, we give all these names, Krishna, Vishnu, Shiva, like that. We see in different names we worship. For example, Shiva is not different from Lord Balaram. If you know that, Lord Shiva is not different from Balaram. Balaram is Lord Shiva. It is there in the Matiya Stotram and all, very clearly mentions that. In Shudhi, in many places it comes like that. So, Sachida Aham Padarthaya Loganam Siddhi Hetave Sachidananda Rupaya Shivaya Paramatmane. So, there, Aham Padarthaya Lokanam, Namo Aham Padarthaya. That means, Aham Padarthaya means, this Aham Aham inside, I am, that is Shiva. Shiva's one aspect. Shiva's aspect is that inside. And I pay my obeisances to him, who is present inside me as I am present inside. That awareness. That's how you, that is Atmanubhavam or Atmavijaram. Means, that I am recognizing that presence of Shiva inside me as the soul. So, Shivalingam when we worship, it's only representing in that way. The lingam outside is only an external symbol of his presence inside. So, so they have what is known as Spadigalingam and Spadigam. Spadigam means, what do they call that? Spadigam. Like glass, it is. It's glass. You can see through that lingam inside. It's a see-through thing. Glass, made of glass, isn't it? So, there is padiyalingam. It is like that, he says here, that if you give the color to that spadigam, it will take that color, isn't it? If you give red color to that, it will take the color of red. Or if it's green, it's green. It's blue, it's blue. Blue, it's blue. So it has no color of its own. Similarly, this aham inside me, I am that consciousness, it doesn't have any color. It doesn't have any color. Consciousness doesn't have any color. But then, when you give the color to it in the form, I am a man, I am a Brahmana, or I am a Brahmana, I am a woman, all these are the color that you have given to it. The color that has been given to the soul. Isn't it? Soul on its own doesn't have any of these colors attached to it. Soul is neither Brahmana nor Kshatriya nor Vaishya or Shudra. Soul is neither Brahmachari, Grahastham, Vanaprastha, Sannyasam. Soul is neither male nor female. Soul is consciousness. So that soul, soul, while present in the body, it keeps saying, I am a Brahmana, I am a Kshatriya, and all that kind of identities. And it is only while present within this body, we identify in that way. As soon as you leave this body, you are not a Brahmana anymore. You are not a Kshatriya anymore. Similarly, a lady is sitting inside, working in the kitchen, staying in her body. She is saying here, I have a lot of work to do in the kitchen, and I got all this prarabdham to do. All kinds of stress in her mind goes through. And similarly, the same soul, when he is present in a dog's body, then the dog is thinking, it is my duty to look after the house, I am guarding this house. The dog, when it is present in the dog's body, it is thinking like that. When it is present in the dog's body. Just like a man, he thinks that I am the householder. So I have to work in the office, I have to earn this money, I have all this responsibility. He is thinking like that. The lady in the house is thinking, I have to work in the kitchen, I have to do a lot of cooking, I have to prepare, organize many things at home for the family. I have all, this is my prarabdham. She is thinking and she is working like that. The dog is thinking, I have to guard the house, it's my house, it's my duty. He is thinking like that. There is not practically any difference between any of them. They are all done on bodily identification. Nothing from the soul. That's the point. So, everybody does all these things. Prarabdham we call, and it's all doing its own duty. And everyone, when engaged in this body, while engaged in this body, it does its work. What? According to the body. It does its work. What it has got. If it's in a cat's body, it's thinking, where I to get the milk, steal the milk or whatever, I to get the milk and drink. And cat does its job according to, based on that body. But the soul has nothing to do with it. It's the body that decides what the work should be. So in Manisha Vanchakam, there is a famous prayers. Also it says here, same samvit. Samvit means this soul inside. The spadiyam, the soul doesn't have a color of its own. What you put on color, you put on that soul, it takes that color. Whatever color you put on that soul, it takes that color. So this consciousness that it go on, that consciousness which is spread everywhere, is the same consciousness which is illuminating every living entity in this world. Every living entity in this world is the same consciousness, but that is present in different ways according to the color that has been put on. So, you will see there, in the Ayari Swamiji mentions that in the Manisha Panchakam, this particular point, that whichever living entity it may be, who is present in the heart of everyone and says, Ahamiti, Ahamiti, that Samvit, that is from inside everyone, the soul who is present inside everyone, and he is sending this signal to the world outside, I am Brahmana, I am Kshatriya, I am Vaishya, I am Shudra. But he is not involved in anything, but it comes out in this way to the world, saying that I am this or Yatiryang Naradevabi Ahamityandaspuda Grihyate. యా తిర్యంగ్ నరదేవా అభి అహం ఇత్యందస్పుణా గృహ్యతే. ఈవన్ ఫ్రమ్ ది స్మాలెస్ట్ ఎండ్ టు ది అప్ టు ది హ్యూమన్ సొసైటీ అండ్ అబౌవ్ అస్ ద డెమిగాడ్స్ ఆల్సో, ఈవన్ టు దాట్ స్టేట్, యా తిర్యంగ్ నరదేవాభి అహం, దట్ అహం ఈస్ దేర్. ఐ ఆమ్ దిస్ దట్ బాడీ, ఐ ఎమ్ దిస్ బాడీ, ఐఎమ్ దట్ బాడీ, ఐఎమ్ దట్ బాడీ, లైక్ దట్. క్యాట్ ఈస్ థింకింగ్ ఐఎమ్ దట్ బాడీ, డాగ్ ఈస్ థింకింగ్ ఐఎమ్ దట్ బాడీ, వి ఆర్ థింకింగ్ వి ఆర్ దిస్ బాడీ, డెమిగాడ్స్ థింకింగ్ దే ఆర్ దట్ బాడీ. సో దిస్ ఈస్ ఆల్ ద వే త్రూ. యా తిర్యంగ్ నరదేవాభి అహమిత్యంద స్ఫుడా గృహ్యతే. బట్ ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ ఆల్ దిస్ బాడీ this puranam is there, aham 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 aham, that's puranam, that is always blowing out. Yal bhasa hrudaya cha deha vishaya bhadi swatao achetanaah. Yal bhasa hrudaya cha chetana, that acha deha vishaya bhandi swato achetana, that awareness only is allowing us to identify with the body. That awareness allows us to identify with the body. Deha vishayam, identification with the body. Bhadi swato achetana. But while within that body also, he is independent. It allows you to identify with the body. Swati bhadi swato achetana. But for him, the chetana has no identification. It's not under the control of the body. తాం భాస్యై విహిదార్కమండల నిపాం స్ఫూర్తిం సదా భావయన్ యోగీ నివృతమానసో హి గురుదిత్యేషా మనీషా మమ. తాం భాస్యై విహిదార్కమండల నిపాం స్ఫూర్తిం, దట్ సోల్ ఇన్సైడ్ ఈస్ లైక్ ఎ సన్, ఈస్ లైక్ ఎ సన్, అండ్ ఆల్వేస్ దట్ స్ఫూర్తి ఈస్ కమింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ హిమ్. హౌ డు వీ నో దట్? It is because of that spurti that we are able to keep contact with the world, isn't it? That spurti from inside, I am, only due to that I am able to relate with another living entity. If he is not allowing from inside, look at his power, how he is shining through different outlets. It's coming through the mind, it comes in one way. Through the intelligence, it comes in another way. Through the senses, it comes in another way. So through various ways, it comes and bhadi. Bhadi means it is shining outside. His power is shining out through different outlets in this world. How beautiful it is to think about oneself as the soul and seeing that soul's nature of relating with this world through senses, through mind, through body, and of course through false ego also, through there. So this is how Atmavijara means. Atmavijara means constantly reflecting on the soul all the time. That's why all this different stotram is all pointing out to this one thing, to bring us to that understanding of our identity. So in order to realize the self, in order to realize the self, that this aradhana, this worship has to continue. What is that worship? Constant reflection on the soul. We'll discuss it tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.